Welcome to the French Tech Asia Pacific Podcast, the show where we talk to French founders, local influencers, and policymakers here in the APAC region. I'm your host, Nikolai.
I'm producer Bill Poorman. Today, a topic that affects us all, sleep.
We recorded this episode in Hong Kong, where we met up with Raphael Séguier, who is in charge of the APAC business development for the Parisian startup Dream, that develops a pioneering sleep solution built around a physical headband that allows you to monitor, analyze, and act on your brain to enhance your sleep.
An interesting product and an interesting topic. Let's get started.
My name is Raphael Séguier. I've been living in China and Greater China area for more than 10 years. I was in China for 5 or 6 years before moving to Taiwan. And now I've been living in Hong Kong for 1 year. I've been working for tech companies for 6 years. I started my career looking for like multinational companies such as Peugeot and Vallourec. Then 6 years ago, I switched to tech, first in the cinema industry. Then I started my own startup. I had a startup that was doing like VR headsets for a couple of years that worked pretty well. And now it's been a few years, like 2 or 3 years, that I work for basically like large startup companies to help them get started in Asia. So last year I was working for Wind, a French company that has raised more than 100 million euros. It's a software solution, like an omnichannel software solution for retailers. And now it's been 6 months that I work for Dream, another large scale-up company. I know that one of the goals of French Tech is to help scale-up companies develop worldwide. So that's exactly what I'm doing. And Dream, so we're going to get more into details, but Dream is basically a headband. It's a sleep aid headband. It's a headband that you wear on your head when you're sleeping, and it helps you sleep better.
So from what I understand of Dream, it's a device that helps you improve quality of sleep by doing two things, right? So it reduces the time it takes to fall asleep, and it improves deep sleep somehow. Could you explain how it does those things, and does it really work?
It does more than two things, actually. So, but you're right. First, it helps you fall asleep faster. So we use different techniques. We have the headband that you have to wear when you're sleeping, but also the application. And you know, in the app, you'll get like a lot of options, for example, like different relaxation or meditation techniques that you can use to fall asleep faster. Then once you're sleeping, what we do is that we improve the quality of deep sleep. So we use pink noise stimulations. So you might know about white noise, you know, a noise that goes like shh, like this. Pink noise is basically the same kind of noise, but a different frequency. And it's been proven that if you like send the right stimulation of pink noise at the right time when you're deep sleeping, we increase the brain waves. And so in a way, we increase the quality of deep sleep. And the third, so the first was fall asleep faster, improve the quality of deep sleep. And the third one is that we help you wake up at the right time. We have like this smart alarm feature. You choose like a window of time, let's say like within 30 minutes, what is the best time to wake up to make sure that you're not like deep sleeping, you know, when we wake you up. And we wake you up with like a special music. For example, I use like the sound of waves, like the sea, to be woken up. We use like, we have bone conduction speakers on the headset. So it's like a very like, you know, like 360 sound. It's kind of like surrounding your head. And it's a very smooth and very nice way of being woken up. So those are the three main features. And when we have much more in the app, am I answering your question?
yeah, absolutely. That waking up feature, that's very interesting. How do you make sure someone wakes up on time?
That's a good question. So like the headband, actually, to explain you a little bit more about the headband, what we do is that we monitor your brain activity when you're sleeping. We do like an EEG. We also monitor your how you breathe, your heart rate. So we have information also about the oxygen saturation in your blood and also your movements. You know, we have an accelerometer and a gyroscope in the headband to monitor how you move and what is your position in your bed. So basically what we do is that based on this information, we're going to analyze how you sleep. Live, we'll use this information to send the pink noise stimulations, for example. You know, we like monitor your brainwave and we have to, at a very precise moment, send the stimulation. But we will also like be some kind of a sleep tracker. So you might know about some products such as Fitbit or Xiaomi, which has sleep trackers. You know, they tell you how you sleep, And, you know, they do like a decent job at like the best one of those sleep trackers do like an okay job at, you know, like basically guessing how you sleep, because they have like your movements and your heart rate to know how you sleep. We actually measure how you sleep with your, you know, based on your brain activity. So we are like a very precise sleep tracker compared to some competitors that, let's say, are not bad, but less precise. So we can do like a very precise sleep staging. We can tell, you know, like the different, like, you know, if you're deep sleeping, if you are in like REM, if you're in light sleep, we actually measure it at the brain level. And based on this, we will be able to wake you up at the right time, you know, with this smart alarm feature.
We have one of the devices lying here on the table. I mean, it looks very, it's very light, right? I don't think it takes a, I think it would be very comfortable wearing it to wear at night. Is there any way we could demo this? We could try this out?
Yeah, sure. We can, I can show you, like, let me just pair the headband with my phone. So I'm starting the app. So here we are, like the headband should be paired and then I can start like a live EEG.
Yeah, so I'm seeing the EEG activity of his brain here displayed directly on the screen. So for those listeners who don't know what EEG activity is, it's basically a sum of all the neurological activity on underlying the point that you're measuring on the skull, right?
That's right. Yeah. We have sensors at the back and at the front of your head. We developed like really special like dry sensors, because we have to be able through your hair to like sense, you know, what is your brain activity. And then you can see like this curve on the phone, which is like showing what is my brain activity. And I can, for example, show you by blinking my eyes, you know, like your eyes use actually a big chunk of your brain activity. So if you close your eyes, that would lower your brain activity, and you can actually see it on the screen. Can you see when I'm blinking my eyes, you see that the curve is responding every time?
Yeah. You can really see the difference. The frequency of the changes is going down. You seem pretty relaxed though, if I'm looking at this.
Yeah, my curve is pretty flat, and you can see my heart rate. My heart rate is 69, so it seems that I'm still I'm not too stressed out.
Good. All right, so I was just wondering, because this is a very interesting product, and I can definitely recognize myself in some of the problems that you're addressing, right? Waking up in the right time, especially. I tend to wake up at when I put the alarm at a fixed time, like within a dream cycle, for example, which leaves you waking up not very refreshed. And sleep deprivation is a massive issue, right? I think reported numbers say something that in Europe, 1 out of 3 people do not sleep as well or as much as they should. I was wondering, do you have any idea what those numbers are like here in Asia?
So yeah, that's right. Like sleep deprivation is a huge problem, actually. Few people know about this. I mean, for the people that don't have trouble sleeping don't know it. But actually, when you start, you know, like talking around, like you'll find out, you know, a lot of your friends and family have trouble sleeping. It's huge. And this is right. Like the number you said, it's around like 30% of people have trouble sleeping. So we address like a huge market, and we're trying to solve like a huge problem with the dream headband. So coming to Asia, it's difficult to be precise. Like, you know, there are like some like medical studies, you know, like, so like the information I have is that like this 30% number seems to be like, you know, related to the human race. You know, it seems to be like a good average worldwide. Now, my feeling being based here in Hong Kong and, you know, like talking with partners, like people like, you know, like sleep clinics and sleep doctors. It seems to be slightly higher in Hong Kong. You know, we're in a place where people work very hard. The life in Hong Kong is very stressful. It's very crowded. You know, pollution is pretty high. So, you know, it's hard to give like precise numbers, but it seems to be higher in places like Hong Kong, and to some extent, like in all those big, like, you know, like international cities in Asia. You know, like such as Shanghai, Tokyo. There are some surveys in China that tend to show that young Chinese people, you know, like are suffering more from insomnia. Some, for example, a survey like done by Sanofi and Tencent was saying that up to 70% of young Chinese people have trouble sleeping. So, you know, you can explain this, but, you know, the use of smartphones, as you know, like, you know, you're like watching a screen before going to bed is not going to help you sleeping, you know, like, you know, people in China work hard, have stressful lives. So, you know, it's big worldwide, but it seems to be higher in Asia, like to sum it up.
In what ways, if any, have you had to adapt your marketing to Asia? And I'm asking this specifically because there might be different cultural ideas, you know, when it comes to sleep or differences in way sleep and the importance of sleep is perceived here in Asia versus the West.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. So we're just getting started in Asia, you know, like I've been working, I'm the first employee of Dream in Asia. And we're just getting started. We're about to launch in Hong Kong, in India, and working in other countries. We have different programs in the application, including one that is called CBTI. So, you know, it's like we use the connective and behavioral therapy, which is basically like the number one technique to cure sleep disorders like insomnia, like sleep doctors. Most sleep doctors use CBTI. And this is like a very important part of, you know, like the Dream solution, this CBTI. So for us, when we first arrived in Asia, it was important to find out, like, do Chinese people use CBTI? Is it the same? Do we need to adapt it? So that's something we're doing right now. CBTI is also being used in China, but, you know, it's slightly different from the West. So that's, you know, that's like something that we need to change to adapt to the local market. Regarding to marketing, so your question was more about marketing. Up to now, we've left our marketing the same, you know. We're thinking about adapting it, but, you know, it's a process. I'm also looking at what other players in, like, what we call, like, the sleep tech industry are doing. There are quite a few, like, Chinese companies active, you know, doing, like, different, like, gadgets that, you know, like, help you sleep better. And, you know, they have like a distinctive like Chinese marketing, you know, like you can, you know, I noticed that, for example, they're very focused on children. Obviously, you know, like people in China are very concerned about like the well-being of their children and making sure they're good at school. So like some of our competitors are really focusing on this, you know, like make sure your children sleep well so that they're more productive and, you know, like feel like are more healthy. Family also, like family is also, of course, really important, you know, and it's more like, you know, compared to the West, like the group, the family is, as you know, is like a very important value in China. So I've noticed like competitors that are using like features such as like, for example, like track how your parents sleep, you know. Even remotely, you can, for example, log on to an application and you can have like information about your parents' health, including how they sleep. And that's kind of like a very Chinese feature, you know, like I see it more like part of this like family value, which is slightly different in the West. So, you know, we're looking at all those things. It's very interesting. Are we going to change the product? We're not sure yet. We're still working on it. But China is different, you know, as you know, I've been living in this in the region for more than 10 years. And I do understand, you know, we might want to change our marketing and adapt our product. That's something we're looking at.
That's a very interesting difference that you mentioned, because definitely the family aspect, the example that you mentioned of monitoring your parents' sleep patterns and getting maybe access to their data as they sleep, is definitely something that doesn't strike me as very acceptable in the West, right, for an average consumer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I guess your dad, you know, doesn't want you to know at what time he's waking up. So that's cultural difference, you know. But when you live in Asia, you just learn to adapt. Basically, it's quite different, and you know they have their own way of doing things. So I don't know who's right or wrong. It's just different.
Now there's different dimensions to sleep, actually, right? There's wellness. So we covered one of those aspects before, waking up refreshed. There's health. Now there are some correlations between sleep quality and chronic illness, but there's also performance enhancement. And I know that some of the first customers in the West were at least trying out the Dream solution initially were professional athletes and people like that that were really trying to enhance their performance through improved quality of sleep. That does strike me as something that entrepreneurs here living in Asia and maybe living the 996 hustle that we've been talking about in the media recently, which for those listeners who haven't heard of this concept is working from 9 to 9, 6 days a week, is definitely something that they might leverage to optimize their performance and to get the most out of their sleep, right? Is this something that you've been hearing or hear in the markets? Is this something that resonates with you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you're right. Like, I mean, the Dream is very clear about the, you know, like the people we target are really insomniacs, you know. We are a startup company. We do like something that might look as a cool gadget, you know, with pretty good marketing. The company has raised 57 million euros, so it's kind of hot in the media. And we had some people that bought the device just because it looked cool. You know, it's like, okay, the design, you know, we work with a design company in San Francisco, so I don't know what you think, but I find it pretty attractive, you know, the headband design. But so some people bought it as a tech gadget. But the thing is, you know, we target insomniacs. So we don't tell you, okay, just try this. It's going to be magic. You know, it's cool. You just wear it and you're going to sleep better. Actually, sleeping better is like quitting smoking, you know. It's going to, you know, it's a big commitment. We target people that are insomniacs, that really have like real sleep disorders. They've tried a lot of different things. They took like sleeping pills. As you know, sleeping pills are really bad for your health. So, you know, like that's one of the things we're fighting against, like... we want to find like the right solution, and you know, like that doesn't don't harm your health. We really like make sure that people understand this. This is, you know, like we are going to help you sleep better, but we're not here to like give you like a magic solution. You just put on the headset, and you know, like you can sleep three hours per night and feel great. We target people that have trouble sleeping, and we're going to like bring a solution so that they sleep better. And they will be more healthy, and the consequence will be that they will be more productive at work, and that, you know, like they will have like basically a better life, but they will still have to sleep for a given number of hours. We've been working with people like, you know, like as you mentioned, like, you know, athletes or the French army, for example. We're doing like a clinical trial with the French army. That's one of the important things about Dream compared to other players in the industry, is that we've done three clinical trials. We've been working with, you know, the Stanford Sleep Center, a hospital in Paris called Hôtel Dieu, and the French army. We have more clinical trials coming. So that's one of the important things about Dream, is that we really make sure we have like a proper scientific backup. You know, what we say has been proven. At the same time, we're very conservative about what we promise, you know. It's a serious sleep solution, but it's not like a magic headband. Like it's as I say, like you'll have, it's a big commitment for our customers.
Before wrapping this up, let's get into the data aspect of things. I don't know how many users you have at Dream, but if you collect on average, let's say, 8 hours of data on each individual user, I would guess that it generates an unprecedented amount of sleep data, right? Are you leveraging that data to either improve the product, to drive research into sleep, or do you do any of those things?
Yeah, sure. That's very interesting. So we just, I don't even know if it's official yet, but like the information I got is that we just reached 700,000 nights of data. You know, like we've been collecting EEGs of people, like, you know, like over 700,000 nights. So of course it's like, you know, like several nights for the same person, but it's still relevant data. And short term, you know, what we do like now, it's very clear. I guess you understood that we help people sleep better. That's our mission short term. But like we obviously also use this data to improve our algorithm. You know, we use a lot of machine learning for all the different algorithms that are going to like analyze how you sleep. We work on new features. For example, one feature we are working on is sleep apnea. Based on the data we have, we can detect sleep apnea, which is also like a pretty big disease worldwide. And we might go, you know, you might have heard about the feature that Apple Watch launched, you know, a few months ago, but like for people that have like a heart disease, they are able to detect this disease, and they're not going to cure it, but they were going to tell you something is wrong. You might want to go see your doctor. So we might be able to do the same with sleep apnea. You know, that's something we're working on. So that's pretty exciting. And, you know, if you like look like our long term, like, you know, with such a big database of EEGs, and, you know, we also have like the heart rate, or different metrics, we might be able to cure, you know, like some, you know, for example, like diseases such as like Parkinson, or, you know, like we might be able 10 years earlier to find out that you have a Parkinson. You know, there might be some patterns in your brain when you're sleeping that we might be able to detect, and we might say, okay, you know, like this guy is going to get this kind of mental disease, you know, when 10 or 20 years from now, when we'll be old. So that's also like something we are not actively working on, but that's one of the directions we're aiming at. So that's pretty exciting, short term and long term.
All right, well, thank you very much. We're going to have to wrap this up for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's it. Thank you for listening to the French Tech Asia Pacific podcast.
If you like what you heard, please subscribe and come back next week.
We're running up to the end of the season, and next week will be this season's final episode before we take our summer break to be back in September.
We'll be coming back with season 2 then. Keep your subscription active and listen for those shows.